Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we continue our conversation on the opioid crisis in Nevada with Jennifer DeLatte Snyder with Join Together Northern Nevada and Stacey Ward, the Drug Abuse Prevention Coordinator for the Reno Police Department, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
I'm Cotter Conway, candidate for Reno Municipal Court Judge. You deserve justice you can trust. I've always believed in giving back to my community through volunteerism. For the past 5 years, I've served on the executive board of the local bar association, and I am currently the president. I've also participated in numerous community projects through Rotary, Evelyn Mount Community Outreach, Sky Tavern, Junior Ski Program, and local youth sports. Success in the courtroom starts with success in our community. I'm Cotter Conway, justice you can trust.
Sharon Engel, you know her. She fights for you. Successfully fought off the margins tax in 2003. Led the fight against the margins tax in 2015. Currently fighting to get 3 initiatives on the ballot this November so you can vote to protect student privacy, eliminate the Obamacare exchange in Nevada, and require voter ID in Nevada. Sharon Engel, she never stops fighting for you. We need Sharon Engel's voice in Washington. Go to runsharonengel.com and support Sharon Engel for U.S. Senate.
I'm Sharon Engel, and I approve this message.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
I'm Scott Peterson. We're Spurn on the Western Legacy. June 16th through the 25th. For tickets, call 800-325-SEAT or visit renorodeo.com. Come join us at the Reno Rodeo.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're continuing our series on opioid abuse in Nevada, and we're going to take some different looks at it today with Jennifer DeLatte Snyder, Executive Director of Join Together Northern Nevada, and Stacey Ward, who's the Drug Abuse Prevention Coordinator with the Reno Police Department. Pleasure to have you both here. Let's start out with, what is Join Together?
Sure. Join Together Northern Nevada is a nonprofit substance abuse coalition, and what that means is that we will partner with anyone. We want to collaborate on issues relating to substance abuse, whether it's prescription drugs, methamphetamine, underage drinking, and we are facilitators of groups of people who want to do something about issues in our community.
Can I raise one quick question here?
Sure.
Is the alcohol abuse by far the greatest problem that you deal with?
Well, we deal with underage drinking and binge drinking, so that is an issue, absolutely. So when you look at the percentage of youth who are abusing a drug, alcohol is number one. But we look at all of the drugs that would be potentially addictive to youth.
When you look at opioid abuse, who's coming to see you?
So opioid abuse, it's about 1 in 5 youth admit to using a prescription for a non-medical reason to get high, basically. And it's the same number for adults as well, but they may be using different types of drugs. So youth may be using stimulants more than opioids because a girl may think, oh, I want to lose weight, and a stimulant would be a good way to lose weight. Or a boy may be thinking, this would help me in sports. They're still using the drugs like the Xanax and the depressants, that type of thing, too, for anxiety. But it's a different type of drug. More than the 18-year-olds and over are using more of those opioids, the more of the euphoria feeling like heroin.
Okay, and are they coming to you because they have gotten a prescription and ended up getting hooked on that prescription as far as opioids go?
So we more likely see parents, because we don't provide direct services, but we see parents, and parents call us and say, what can we do? What information do you have, and where can you direct us? And we always tell them the Substance Abuse Helpline, which is 825-HELP. That's a free resource in our community, 24 hours a day. It is staffed, and there are trained counselors there who can lead people to the right facilities in the community.
And that's a 775 area code.
It is.
Is there something comparable in Las Vegas for our viewers down
there? There is a 1-800 number for anybody. If you went to the Crisis Call Center website, you could find that 1-800 number. I'm sorry, I don't have it with me, but there is a statewide 1-800 number that is free for anybody to call the Substance Abuse Helpline up here in Reno.
Do you feel that the opioid crisis, certainly for adults, is getting worse?
It is getting worse, and a lot of these people, I'm sure others who you've had on the program have said they take it for a legitimate reason. There's a back surgery, there's an injury, something has happened, and people start on these drugs for a really legitimate reason, and then before they know it, they are hooked on them, and it's all-consuming, and all they can think about is getting more of these drugs.
All right, we'll come back to potential help in a moment, but I wanted to bring Stacy into this. What is the Community Opioid Response Group?
So we have put together, this is a partnership with Join Together Northern Nevada that the police department put together in about 2009. We identified prescription drug abuse as one of our priority problems that we wanted to address. So we formed a community coalition that has worked on several different facets of the problem. One of the big things is the prescription take-back event. So through that group, we've been putting together that event twice a year since 2009. And then we've also worked on several other things like education. We've put together some training for the medical community, some training for law enforcement, and just various other, kind of like Jennifer said, depending on what the needs are in the community at that time, we're trying to meet those needs.
Okay, so let me hit some of those individual topics there. Mm-hmm. So the take back program is essentially people have a ton of drugs at home.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of us do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are out of date, but they're also open to younger people coming in and taking those drugs from the parents or the grandparents, and then we talked about this on the program many times, going to pill parties where they throw all manner of pills into a bowl and then people take handfuls of these pills having no clue what could come from that.
Right, and especially with youth, because about 2/3 to 3/4 of youth that abuse prescription drugs just use whatever they can get for free. So they go to whoever's medicine cabinet they know has some pills in there and take them. The majority of us that have prescription medication laying around don't know exactly how many pills are in there. So if somebody takes a few, I'm never even going to notice. So we put together that event. The first one was in fall of 2009, and we didn't really know what to expect. And we were shocked at the amount people were bringing in years, you know, sometimes decades worth of medications that had piled up. So there's definitely been a huge need for it in the community, and we had kind of expected that we might reach a peak at some point and then it would start to taper off, but it's been the opposite of that. This last roundup event in April of this year was the biggest turnout that we've had, the most pills that we've collected since we began.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, when you do these biannual events, mm-hmm. obviously that's not a problem. Nobody's going to get arrested for showing up with medicines.
Right.
But what if somebody, another time in the year, finds themselves with these medicines for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
Can they just show up at a police station without, you know, coming under fire?
Right. So we did implement drop boxes in the police stations, and those are kind of the same as the roundup event where it's no questions asked. You don't have to even interact with anybody. You can go into the Reno Police or Sparks Police or Washoe County Sheriff's Office main lobby there, and there's just a prescription drop box sitting there. Kind of looks like a big metal mailbox. And you just drop your drugs in there and leave. You don't have to fill out any paperwork or anything like that. So we've had those in place since about 2012, and those are getting used pretty frequently, too. So a lot of people are wanting to do that.
And again, is there a comparable program like that in Las Vegas?
In Las Vegas, they do some take-back initiatives. It looks a little differently than up here. They don't necessarily do, you know, police station drop boxes and then twice a year roundups. From what I understand, they have some partnerships with the schools and the school district police department. So I think as far as where somebody in Las Vegas would go, the first step is just contact your local law enforcement, because at present, law enforcement is the only organization that is actively collecting prescription drugs. We so far haven't had any pharmacies that have jumped on and said they want to start doing that, though it looks like that may be coming soon with one of the large retailers. So just contact your local law enforcement and they'll be able to tell you where you can take them.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back much more on this when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers' coverage of the opioid crisis in Nevada is brought to you by the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sharon Engel, you know her. She fights for you. Successfully fought off the margins tax in 2003. Led the fight against the margins tax in 2015. Currently fighting to get three initiatives on the ballot this November so you can vote to protect student privacy, eliminate the Obamacare exchange in Nevada, and require voter ID in Nevada. Sharon Engel. She never stops fighting for you. We need Sharon Engel's voice in Washington. Go to runsharonengel.com and support Sharon Engel for U.S. Senate.
I'm Sharon Engel, and I approve this message.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction, 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jennifer Gillette Snyder, Executive Director of Join Together Northern Nevada, and Stacey Ward, Drug Abuse Prevention Coordinator with the Reno Police Department. So, Jennifer, you know, there's been a lot of news in the Northern Nevada area about a doctor who was taken out for allegedly providing lots of opioids. What resources are available to those that need a primary care doctor in Northern Nevada, who, you know, first of all, there's a shortage to begin with, but now you take any doctor out of the system, that creates an even bigger shortage. What do you think?
So as far as primary care, if folks are in Northern Nevada, they could call the Community Health Alliance, and oftentimes they may be able to be seen at the same day. They should probably check with their insurance provider and see if there's a professional who can be recommended to them. And they can also probably call the Board of Examiners or the Medical Board if they can't, if they've exhausted their other resources. They could call both of those agencies to see if they could be directed to somebody.
And we got the statewide crisis call number for folks who are having problems, 1-800-450-9530, 1-800-450-9530. You know, as you look at this the problem with opioids, without laying blame, I'm just trying to find solutions. So, you know, where do you see solutions coming from? Do you see a combination of solutions coming from the doctors, from the pharmacists? Where do you see solutions coming from?
I think overall education, and it's educating physicians on how to prescribe these drugs if they're going to prescribe them. The CDC came out with guidelines earlier this year, and we actively work with the University of Nevada School of Medicine to provide trainings for physicians on various topics about drugs of abuse. And we have an upcoming one on stimulants. We just did one on opioids two weeks ago. But I would say education, not just for the physicians and medical personnel, but also for just citizens. We need to be educated, too, about what we want to take, about what we see on TV. We see ads. You know, we're one of the few countries in the world that actually allows pharmaceutical companies to advertise in magazines and on TV. We see a drug and we think, oh, boy, maybe I need to take that. I have those symptoms.
They actively ask you to do that. If you have blah, 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 ask your doctor if this is right for you.
Right. So I think it's educating not just the physicians, but the parents. We provide education to parents. We talk to them about what Stacey talked about earlier, about keeping your drugs safe, but also about what medications maybe you should ask questions about if a physician recommends an opioid or some other potentially addictive drug, ask questions first. Don't ask them later. Think about an exit strategy first instead of thinking 6 months down the road, how do I get off of these?
So it's almost like, you know, we should almost feel, because one of the problems is when you go to the doctor's office, we talked about this on the program before, mm-hmm. when you go to the doctor's office, your mind is just a blank. The doctor says in the 10 minutes or so that you're there, blah, 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 blah. You're trying to absorb it all. The minute you walk out the door, and he's gone or she's gone, you say, oh, darn, I wish I could have asked this question. So I think it's very difficult for people when they're already in a very highly emotional situation. The doctor has given a resolution to that situation for them to suddenly go, oh, but am I going to be addicted to this drug if I take it? What do you think is the resolution there?
Well, I like to, especially with, I'll say this with my parents, I'll say, make sure that I go with you or somebody goes with you so you have two people listening in on the appointment, depending on what a physician is going to recommend. But you also have to remember, like, if I'm going to the doctor, you're going to the doctor, we're going for a reason. And a lot of times we're going to get a drug to feel better. So maybe we just need to think about that in general. If I'm going and I think I want a drug or I need something to feel better, what are my options? And it's going to take longer if you ask a physician questions, but it's better if you can ask questions. And I agree, you know, you go in there and the doctor tells you, here it is, and gives you a prescription, and out the door he goes. But maybe you have an opportunity to talk to a physician assistant or a nurse or somebody else there who can give you a little bit more information. Or, like you've heard earlier, talk to a pharmacist. Just because you have that prescription doesn't mean you have to fill it and use it.
Well, and that's a big deal. You know, it's interesting. I am terrified of these kind of pain medications. And the last time I was in a situation where I needed to take one, I took one pill. I had the best night's sleep ever. And then I was terrified until I finally threw that bottle of pills away, that in a moment of weakness, I might think, hey, you know, this would be great. I can get a good night's sleep. And the pills are sitting there. And eventually I got rid of them. But I'm not sure that many people... as you were talking mm-hmm. about, are storing pills for decades,
right.
and that's a real temptation there.
Yeah, I mean, in some cases, it's one extreme or the other. We're either very much too liberal with our use of medications, and we'll just take as many and not think about the consequences, or, you know, we're terrified to take them even if the doctor prescribes it. So I think the crux of this issue is pain, right, treating pain, and how do we treat pain without also creating addiction? At the same time, and I would say what we need is kind of a paradigm shift in the medical community and the general population as far as what do we expect. Are opioids the only available option for treating pain? No, they aren't. There are other, in many cases, more effective ways to treat chronic pain in particular. So I think we need to kind of get all of us on the same page where in the medical community, a doctor may first recommend, I want you to start physical therapy. I want you to be exercising regularly, you know, I want you to eat healthier, things like that. And then if I go in as a patient, I need to be receptive to that and not just push back and say, no, I don't want to do any of those things. I don't want to do any work. I want you to give me a pill that's going to numb the pain and that's it. You know, because we're kind of jumping straight to that as if that's the only way. It either needs to be opiates or people in debilitating pain for the rest of their lives. But there are other options in between those two, so that's what we're trying to kind of talk about more.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more on this topic.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sharon Engel, you know her. She fights for you. Successfully fought off the margins tax in 2003. Led the fight against the margins tax in 2015. Currently fighting to get three initiatives on the ballot this November so you can vote to protect student privacy, eliminate the Obamacare exchange in Nevada, and require voter ID in Nevada. Sharon Engel, she never stops fighting for you. We need Sharon Engel's voice in Washington. Go to runsharonengel.com and support Sharon Engel for U.S. Senate.
I'm Sharon Engel, and I approve this message.
Sharon Engel, you know her. She fights for you. Successfully fought off the margins tax in 2003. Led the fight against the margins tax in 2015. Currently fighting to get three initiatives on the ballot this November so you can vote to protect student privacy, eliminate the Obamacare exchange in Nevada, and require voter ID in Nevada. Sharon Engel, she never stops fighting for you. We need Sharon Engel's voice in Washington. Go to runsharonengel.com and support Sharon Engel for U.S. Senate.
I'm Sharon Engel, and I approve this message.
When you're driving, put down your cell phone. All those LOLs and OMGs can wait. You don't want to get sued.
Golightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
Returning to the beautiful Montreux Golf and Country Club. Don't miss this year's Barracuda Championship with 18 holes in 18 days. An inside look at one hole each day leading up to tournament play every night on NBC News 4. Brought to you in partnership with Reno Tahoe Auto Group.
One family, one owner, serving Northern Nevada since 1964. As your Couture dry cleaner and alteration specialist, and the only cleaner of fine French linen. From Deluxe Laundry, our signature brand, to our expert drapery, blind, and window treatment cleaning service. From handbag cleaning in a clutch, to a nationalized partner in textile restoration. Bobby Page's, over 50 years of innovation. We're not just a dry cleaner, we're your neighborhood textile group. Visit us at bobbypages.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Stacey Ward. She's the Drug Abuse Prevention Coordinator with the Reno Police Department, and Jennifer Gillette Snyder, who is Executive Director of Join Together Northern Nevada. So I want to go back to what you were talking about in the first segment, which is the approach that law enforcement is taking with this. It seems to me from our discussion with you and from our discussion with Mac Venson, who was here a couple of weeks ago, that you're not out to criminalize people, that you're looking more for solutions.
Right, and particularly right now, so the Reno Police Department has, we've applied for and received a federal grant that is primarily research-based right now, so that's where our mind is. We're trying to gather all the data that we can to understand the problem a little better. So we're trying to look at, you know, are there common factors? Are there hot spots in town, certain areas where prescription fraud is rampant? One of the big things we're looking at, too, is the progression to heroin use. So, unfortunately, more and more people that are addicted to prescription painkillers end up running out of their supply for whatever reason, or it becomes too expensive, and they start using heroin.
Well, and that's a situation, if I'm correct here, where they run out of a supply from a doctor, and then they're seeking to buy that medication on the black market, but that medication is way more expensive than something similar, which would be heroin.
Right. So what we're looking at, we know that that progression takes place, but we don't know exactly how. So what we're going to be doing over the next 2.5 years is looking at, are there any patterns that exist? So does it look like a lot of those people started out with a legitimate injury, and they were prescribed medications, they took them as prescribed, and then they got addicted, and then they doctor shopped, and then that kind of got old, and then they used heroin? Or does it look like the majority of people that end up using heroin were kind of exhibiting criminal behavior from day one? Were they committing prescription fraud, and then doctor shopping, and then heroin? Because if we don't know exactly who is more susceptible to, you know, going down that path than not, we don't know where to target our prevention and intervention efforts.
Well, let me ask you this. Where's the heroin coming from?
So in our area, heroin primarily comes up from Mexico and is just imported into this area. So particularly since we on the West Coast are so close to that supply, that's where most of it comes from. We don't really have manufacturing of heroin going on in this area necessarily.
You know, it seems with, you know, all the programs we've done so far on this topic that there's going to need to be education coming from a different place, that with all the goodwill from doctors and from pharmacists, that it's not going to be enough to get the message across, because I think it's a dual system that's necessary. One is to educate adults of the dangers and to say, you know, beware when you're put on a medication. You know, talk to your doctor, talk to your pharmacist about, you know, is this an addictive medicine that we're taking? And if so, cut back on the amount that you take. And, you know, get people to understand that there are great dangers, even though these medicines can be a miracle in terms of pain relief, but not helpful if you end up to the point of addiction and to where you're turning to other things like heroin as a substitute. Am I on the right track here, that it needs to be more than just the local people? It needs to be a national campaign, because people are dying of this every day.
It really is a public health issue, and it really is a bigger conversation about the non-medical use of prescription drugs of any of them, of any category. So it's not just the painkillers, but it's the anxiety medications, it's the sleep aids. It needs to be a bigger conversation, and we are planning with our prescription drug group, we are planning a community event in July, and we hope that people will come and talk about it. We'll have a couple of physicians up on stage talking about exactly that, what you're saying. It needs to be a bigger conversation. We need to raise awareness because there are about 269 people dying every week due to prescription drug overdose. That's a lot.
Other groups like yours across the country, and are you hooking up with those groups to form a national alliance?
Well, we have 12 coalitions across the state. We form the Nevada Statewide Coalition Partnership, and we all work together. And so every area of the state is working on this issue as well. We work with the governor's office, the attorney general's office, many in the state, and we do. There is actually a coalition, a national coalition conference in Las Vegas in July that many of us are going to. So we'll get re-energized there and find out what other states are doing to combat prescription drug abuse.
And are you comfortable that the pharmaceutical industry is doing its part to help, or are they just sitting there making money?
I think they could probably do more. You know, they helped get us into this. I think they could do more.
Stacy, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. And I think everybody, and absolutely everybody, has a part to play. So it's not all the doctors, it's not all the pharmacies, it's not all law enforcement. However, all of those groups have a responsibility to do something, and I think that would include the manufacturers too. They're a little bit, you know, they're not necessarily in all of these conversations with us, so that's not where we're focusing, is on trying to get them to do something. But everybody has a responsibility, and even in the community, just the average citizen has a responsibility for educating themselves and, you know, sharing what they've learned about how these drugs work and what the dangers might be with people around them. There's a lot that we all could do.
Because we certainly tell kids, you know, don't touch that hot pan on the stone because you're going to burn yourself. Mm-hmm. So we have to leave it. Thank you both very much.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the opioid crisis in Nevada is brought to you by the Retail Association of Nevada.
It's time to update that old, outdated bathroom. That's why homeowners are calling Bath Planet for out-of-this-world service at down-to-earth prices.
Our bath was so outdated, and I hated the bathtub. And I only take showers, so I always wanted a shower. And that's what made me decide to finally get a shower.
Bath Planet has received a 94% recommendation rating from Guild Quality. Design your new bath or shower now with our unique design studio on the Bath Planet website. Our bath and shower designs have been tested and earned the Good Housekeeping seal. That means you get a 2-year warranty, plus Bath Planet offers a lifetime warranty.
Call now during our 60-60-60 sale with 60% off installation of a new bath or shower. Ask about low monthly payments for up to 60 months, senior and military discounts, and act now to receive a free $60 restaurant.com gift card with your in-home estimate, plus a bonus. The first 60 callers during this program will receive free installation on their bath or shower purchase.
It was Mama's shower, and so she was a little edgy about stepping over and slipping, so we wanted to replace it and make it safer for her.
Ask about easy access tub to shower conversions and barrier free showers, or a relaxing deep soaker tub installed in as little as one day.
Remember, call now during our 60-60-60 sale for 60% off installation of your new bath or shower. Ask about low monthly payments for up to 60 months and the free $60 restaurant.com gift card with your estimate. Plus, the first 60 callers during this program will receive free installation on their bath or shower purchase. Don't wait. Call now.
On our next broadcast, pharmacist Dr. Jason Penrod and Liz McMenamin with the Retail Association of Nevada. We'll see you then.